Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
What's the purpose of my life? Like, is life just going to work, coming home, eating dinner, watching Netflix, doing the same thing over and over, maybe raising a few kids? Or is there more? Like, there's got to be more. What does God want me to do? Well, today we're going to answer that question. We're in a series called No Barriers, and we're talking about how God wants to remove the barriers between him and people, which is amazing, right? That God loves us so much that he wants to have relationship with us. But it goes even further because God wants to use you to remove the barriers between him and people. In fact, Jesus said repeatedly that that is the purpose of your life. And it's incredible that you could be a part of removing those barriers. So listen, God wants to partner with you to impact the lives of other people. And he will lead you, if you will listen for and obey his voice, to divine appointments where you can do that. I want to share with you a story from the Bible that is a great example of this. I love this story. You'll see that it has lots of application for each of our lives. And there's also some application for us as a church. So we turn 10 years old in 2 weeks, and we are going to really celebrate that weekend. The services in the morning on Sunday are going to be different and cool and fun, kind of a party. And then we're actually having a birthday party from 6 to 7 that night. You're like, is it a birthday? If it's a birthday party, will it have cake? Of course it will have cake. It's a birthday party. You're like, if it's a birthday party, will it have a professional comedian? It's a birthday party. Of course we'll have a professional comedian. We will. And so we're going to have lots of fun. I hope you can join us for all that. As we go through the story today, I want to point out a couple places where this story connects with our story, our 10 years of being at church. So the story is in the book of Acts, which is the book of the Bible that tells about the first Christians as they are starting the first ever churches. And in Acts chapter 8, we read about this early Jesus follower named Philip. And Philip was in an area called Samaria where he was working with a new church, and it was going amazing. I mean, tons of people were coming to faith. And so we'll pick up the story there in verse 12 of chapter 8, which we put all the Bible verses on the screen for you to read. And if you need a Bible at home, we would love to give you one as a free gift on your way out today. We have English Bibles, Spanish Bibles. Grab a Bible on your way out. So verse 12 says, but now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. We saw last week that in the Bible, whenever someone believes in Jesus, they get baptized. And there's another example. So Philip is being used by God in a big way. But in the midst of all this, look what happens. Verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So God says to Philip, go south down that desert road. And Philip's like, I'm going to ride my horse to that desert road. Thank you very much. Nobody at the early service, they didn't clap for me. I like you guys better. And so we're going to see in a minute that the reason that Philip is being sent to this road is because there is a man there from Ethiopia, and that man needs to hear about Jesus. So the first thing we see in this story is that God wants to partner with us to impact the lives of other people. It's very interesting. So this angel appears to Philip, tells Philip, directs Philip to go to this Ethiopian man. Question, why doesn't the angel just appear directly to the Ethiopian man? Certainly, he could tell him about God better than Philip could. Well, because God has chosen to partner with imperfect and often incompetent people to share the good news of his love. How amazing is that? That God wants to partner with imperfect and incompetent me and you to do incredible things. And that's the story of Verve. A bunch of very ordinary people who God has used to do some extraordinary things. So in our 10 years, we've seen hundreds of people put their faith in Jesus and get baptized. We've seen marriages saved. We've seen kids growing up knowing that they are loved by God, teenagers serving God, some going into ministry full time. We've seen addicts set free, churches started in Poland and Ecuador and India, ministries started that are rescuing women and little kids from sex trafficking, ministries started that feed starving children, give health care to the poor in poor countries. We've adopted a school and we adopted an entire housing project in one of the worst neighborhoods in Las Vegas. And you look at it all and it's like, wow. And you might think some really special, talented people did all that. No, it's very ordinary people who partnered up with an extraordinary God. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing through this church, you totally need to be a part of the core conference on March 7th. That weekend is just going to be a big 10th anniversary, crazy, fun, cool weekend. But the core conference is for core people at Verve, people who are in a Verve group or who are volunteering on a Verve team. And that day, we're going to learn together. We're going to grow together. We're going to laugh together for sure. I think we might cry together in some really cool ways. We're going to make some big announcements and share some big dreams and goals. It's going to be very cool. And so be there. And if you're like, I'm not in the core, I'm not in a group or on a team, but that sounds cool. You're invited, and we would love to get you plugged in to a group or a team and get you at the core of this church so God can use you in the ways he's using us ordinary people. Okay, so the first thing we learn in this story is that God wants to partner with us to impact the lives of other people. The second thing we learn is that God will go to great lengths to reach just one person, which is kind of what that song we just sang was all about. So the angel tells Philip to go south down this certain road. God sends Philip, one of the most important early leaders in the church, away from Samaria, where hundreds of lives are being impacted, to this deserted road in the middle of nowhere to reach out to this one guy. God will go to incredible lengths to reach just one person. And really, that's the story of Verve. So I was leading, 11 years ago, I was leading a church that I started in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I felt like God was telling my family to move to Las Vegas and to start a church here. And when I finally started sharing that, people questioned, like, why would you leave what God is doing here? Well, because I think God told me to go. But what about your church here? Like, what about those people? Well, they'll be fine. This church isn't about me, and God tells us to go. And so we moved here, and we decided to start Verve near the Las Vegas Strip. And every pastor in town who I met, who I talked to, and there were a lot, said, don't do that. No. You want to put your church as far out in the suburbs as you can. That is the only strategy for starting a church in Las Vegas that will survive. If you want your church to be sustainable, don't go anywhere near the Strip. We're like, maybe, I mean, you might be right, but God promised to go with us, and so we're just going to do it, and we're going to trust him. And if we reach just one person, that's okay, because God will go to great lengths to reach just one person. We see that in the story. We also see in the story the importance of obedience. With no explanation as to why, the angel tells Philip, go south to this desert road in the middle of nowhere, and I love how the next verse begins. So he started out. Philip does not know why he's being asked to go. He has no idea, but he goes. And that one simple statement of obedience, so he started out, is probably the most important take-home application for us today. We need to listen for and be obedient to God's voice as he directs us. When I played basketball in high school, we were expected, when we were on the court, to hear and discern the voice of our coach from courtside. which is difficult, especially in basketball, because there's hundreds of fans who are all yelling, and there's cheerleaders doing their cheers and their spirit fingers, and there's players who are trash talking. Antonucci sounds like a pasta. And so, like, there's all these noises and voices, but you're supposed to hear your coach's voice through it all as he changes a defensive assignment or calls out a play. And it's hard at first, but the longer I played for him, the more I was able to discern his voice from all the other noise. So listen, the more you obey God's leadings, the more clearly you will be able to hear his voice and discern his leadings in the future. Typically, maybe not always, but typically, people who have the struggle of, like, I don't know what God wants me to do, are people who do not have a long history of being obedient to God's voice. Because typically, when you're obedient to God's voice, it becomes more and more clear. You hear what he is asking you to do, and you can discern that it is him. And God will lead you. He is going to lead you maybe to send a note, to make a phone call, to meet with a friend. And more than anything else, God will lead you to share Jesus with the people he puts around you. God wants to partner with you to impact the lives of other people. And so God is going to lead you into an adventure, but it's completely up to you whether you obey him or not. And the more you obey God's leading, the more clearly you're going to be able to discern his voice as he leads you in the future. So Philip has no idea why he's being asked to go, but he goes. Here's the whole verse. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. We need to stop there, because when I said eunuch, I lost every guy in the room. Well, every guy who knows what eunuch means. So a eunuch is a dude who has had his private parts removed. So it happened back then to guys who worked in the palace to make sure that they weren't messing with the girls in the palace. It was just like part of the job. I used to think asking me to wear a tie was a lot. But this guy's like, you want this job, eunuch is where. And eunuch is not something that you want to be, like, used to describe you for the rest of time. Like, are we going to get to heaven someday and this guy's going to be like, hey, nice to meet you, I'm the eunuch, and we're going to be like, oh, from Acts 8? And he's going to be like, yeah. We're going to be like, ooh, sorry, dude. And he's like, yeah. And then we'll be over, like, going, have you met the Ethiopian eunuch? That's it, right? I don't know. I don't want to be described as a eunuch for the rest of my life. Something cool here, though, is back then, the fact that he was from Ethiopia and not Israel would have made everyone believe that God was not for him. And the fact that he was a eunuch would have definitely made everyone believe that God was not for him. But God shows us in this story that he was. God is breaking down all of the barriers that people created. And that's what we want to do as a church. That's why we started Verve. We want to help people to know that God is for them, and especially to help people who might have a hard time believing that God could be for someone like me. Some of the very coolest stories we've had in our 10 years is of people discovering that God loves them who had no idea that God could love someone like them. Like stories like pimps and porn stars and gang members discovering that God is for me. And we get to let them know. How cool is that? So back to the story, starting in verse 27. And he, that's Philip, right, met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. So this guy has an impressive position. He's over the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia. He's essentially the minister of finance. And his status, his high status, is revealed by the fact that he is riding in a chariot. He's like,
They see me rolling. They hate it. Patrolling. They're trying to catch me riding dirty. And so, like, he's going along. Thank you. And so having a chariot back then, wow, I could just sing all day. This could be fun. I'm horrible. But having a chariot back then would be like having a Rolls Royce day. You see somebody driving in a Rolls, you're like, okay, they're somebody or they've got money. And so, like, right? And so he has a lot, but man, he's still searching for more, right? He has all this stuff, but he needs more. So he's searching for God. He had traveled over 1,000 miles to go to Jerusalem. Likely took him more than a month. He must have believed in the one true God, and his search led him all the way to the temple in Jerusalem. And we see him here in his chariot, and he's still seeking, and he's still searching. And maybe that's you today, right? Like, maybe you're here, and you're like, you know, I think probably everybody but me believes, but I don't, and that's not true. One of the cool things about Verve is we get lots of people who are like, I'm just kind of checking things out. I'm just searching. Listen, if you're seeking God, you may not know this, but God has actually made a promise specifically to you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. God says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I would say that's why he has you here today, because he wants to be found. And I would thank you for being here today. I think it's so cool that you braved coming to church, and I would encourage you, keep seeking. So this Ethiopian is seeking God when, verse 29, the Holy Spirit is God's presence with somebody who's given their life to him, God's activity in our life. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. So one thing we learn here is that if we follow God's leading, God will put us close to people who are far from him. Listen, if you're following God's leading, he's going to put you close to people who are far from him. He's going to have you chasing some chariots. Like, there's no way that this Ethiopian could have impact, or his life could have been impacted by Philip unless Philip was in close proximity to him. And God wants us to be close to people who are far from him because he loves that person. He wants to remove the barriers that are keeping them from him. And so he's going to have you get close to people who are far from him. It's going to have you chase a chariot. Maybe your chariot is the gym where you work out, or the grocery store, or the restaurant, or the coffee shop where you're a regular. I think for sure it's your job, and it's your neighborhood, right? It's like, I don't know, maybe God's calling you to start a Verve group in your neighborhood so that you can invite the people that live around you. God wants you close to people who are far from him. And if you follow God's leading, that is where he will put you. And he is going to give you divine appointments to share Jesus, which is what happens with Philip, right? God sets up this divine appointment to let him share Jesus. And that will happen to you if you are listening for his voice and obedient, because God wants to partner with you to impact the lives of other people. It's incredible. So you think about this. So this Ethiopian guy, he spoke a different language from Philip, but at some point he must have learned Greek, which is what Philip would have spoken. He traveled 1,000 miles by chariot. He's on this deserted road in the middle of nowhere. He just so happens to be reading the Bible, and along comes Philip. It was no accident. Right? This was a divine appointment. God is tearing down the barriers, and the same is true with you. It's so easy to walk through life feeling like it's an accident, right? I mean, the person you sit next to on the plane, it's an accident. The waiter at your table at the restaurant, the lady at the grocery store, the person who cuts your hair, the other parent who's sitting next to you at your kid's game, the neighbor who God made sure lived right next door to you, your coworker in the lunchroom. I would not consider any of that an accident. I would consider a divine appointment that God has known about since the beginning of time and has divinely orchestrated so that your paths could cross at just the right moment. God wants to partner with you to impact the lives of other people. Let's continue with the story. And what we're going to see is that God what I want you to see is how Philip shares Jesus. So verse 30 says, Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? Notice, Philip starts with where the man is at. He doesn't like jump in the chariot and is all like, hey, you want to talk Jesus? Like, that's not what he does, right? He starts with where the man is at. Second, notice this. He begins with a question, right? He doesn't launch into a sales pitch. He asks a question, and then he just listens. And that is the greatest model for how do I share my faith with someone. You start by asking questions and listening. There's a lady named Jan, and she was a follower of Jesus, an ordinary person like you or me, and she heard a message like this that made her think, man, that's my purpose, like to share Jesus. I wanna get better at that. And so she went to an evangelism conference. Evangelism literally simply means to share good news. That's all it means. And so this conference was like, hey, here's how to get better at sharing the good news about Jesus. And that night, she and a couple friends who went with her were in the hot tub at the hotel, and they're just kind of relaxing when these two teenagers get in, and one of the teenagers, her name was Brittany, starts telling the other teenager about how excited she was about this Wiccan gathering that she was going to be going to. Wicca, if you don't know, is like a dark form of witchcraft. And so she's all excited about it. And Jan and her friends, who are all Christians, they said, like, normally we would have said, hey, that's not good for you. That's not where we would have just started talking. But we had learned at this conference that you always start by asking questions and listening. And so Jan says that she asked, she said, it sounds like you're really excited about this Wiccan gathering. Just asked. And that was all the encouragement Brittany needed. She launched into this whole explanation of why she was so attracted to this group who do neo-pagan rituals. And the bottom line that she shared was that she had gone through a lot of trauma in high school, and the Wiccans were the one group who just made her feel accepted. And she said, man, I have gone through so much junk in my life that, like, I think I'll be in counseling for the rest of my life just trying to deal with it. Jan says, I just tried to mirror back what she was saying and ask questions. She said, oh, wow, it sounds like it's been really hard for you, and it's hard for you to imagine a future where you could be free from all the pain you've gone through in life. And then Jan says, what came next completely floored me. With tears in her eyes and a complete sincerity in her voice, she said, sometimes I wish I could just be born all over again. You know what I mean? Like, I'd like to just start my life over from scratch. And these Christian women sat there for a minute, and then one of them said, do you really feel like you'd like to know how to be born again? And she said, yeah, I really would. And then the ladies took time to graciously share their faith. Now, you talk about a divine appointment, right? In a hotel hot tub. And I love the way they did it. You start with where the person is at. You don't jump into a sales pitch. You ask questions, and you just listen. And that's what Philip does. He asks the man, do you understand what you're reading? And here's the next verse 31. The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. He's like, come over here and sit next to me. That was better than Dave, right? Earlier in the service when he sang that. I'm pretty sure. So you remember this eunuch, it said earlier that he was studying from the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah is in the Old Testament of the Bible. Dave mentioned that's the part of the Bible before Jesus comes. The New Testament tells us about Jesus, but there was no New Testament on the day that Philip and the Ethiopian meet. The Old Testament's written before Jesus, but it all points forward to Jesus. There are all these passages that predict the coming of Jesus and what Jesus would do for us. And if you were going to pick one chapter for someone to be reading and ask you to explain what it means so that you could share Jesus with them from the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, what the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, is probably the best chapter you could possibly choose. This is a divine appointment. So here's part of that chapter. The Ethiopian had just read this, Isaiah 53, starting in verse 3. It says, "Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." If you know the story of Jesus, that perfectly describes what Jesus did on the cross for us, and that was written 700 years before Jesus came to earth and was born as a baby. And so those are verses 3 through 6. The Ethiopian had just read that, and when Philip comes up, he's reading verses 7 and 8. So we'll go back into the story in Acts 8. It says, the passage of Scripture he had been reading was this. And so this is Isaiah, same chapter, next verses. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And then look what Philip does with this opportunity. Verse 35. "So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus." Philip told him the good news about Jesus. That is the main way we impact people's lives. It's by sharing the good news about Jesus. Did you notice, I want you to notice, that sharing your faith is sharing good news about Jesus. Sharing your faith is not sharing your morals. Sharing your faith is not sharing your values. Sharing your faith is not sharing your political views. It's not sharing what you think the other person is doing wrong in their life. Sharing your faith is sharing good news about Jesus. And it is such good news, right? To be able to share with a person that they are loved perfectly by a perfect God. That if they just put their faith in Jesus, God will forgive every sin. They can start over clean. That they have meaning and purpose in their life. That they never have to be alone because God wants to be a relationship with them. That there is hope after this in this life because there is life after this life in a place called heaven where God will be with them forever. Sharing your faith is sharing good news about Jesus. And if you are a follower of Jesus, that is what God wants to do with your life. And so what God will do is he will direct you to divine appointments where you can do that. I want you to understand, I'm talking like this week, if you will listen for his voice and you will be obedient to it, God will lead you to divine appointments. It might be with someone you know, it might be with someone you've never met, where you can share good news about Jesus. Man, you talk about purpose. Let's see how the Ethiopian eunuch responds. Next verse says, as they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So Philip shares the good news. The Ethiopian's response is to ask Philip to baptize him. Baptism is when a person is, because of their faith, is lowered under water, buried in it, like Jesus was buried. And then that person is raised up from the water, like being raised from a grave to new life. The Bible says that baptism is like a kind of like a spiritual wedding. Romans 6:3 says, we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism. So you're united with Jesus in baptism, kind of like two people are united in a marriage ceremony. The Bible also says baptism is like a spiritual bath. Acts 22:16 says, and now, What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. You know, it's interesting to me that Philip, it says, Philip shared the good news about Jesus, and the Ethiopian's immediate response is, baptize me, which seems to be indicating for sure that part of the good news that Philip shared was about baptism, right? Baptism is a big deal to God. In fact, when God came to earth in Jesus, he got baptized. Jesus was baptized, and he asked us to be baptized. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, whoever is baptized, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And when this Ethiopian guy, when he hears the good news, this offer that God was making to wash his sins away, bring him into relationship with him, and someday bring him to heaven forever, he knew that he had to respond. And so he says, look, there's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? In his mind, there were reasons he shouldn't be baptized, right? He was Ethiopian. He had been told that meant that God was not for him. He was a eunuch. He had been told that meant God was not for him. But no, God loved him, was inviting him, and there was no reason for him to not get baptized. And God loves you. And he is inviting you. And if you believe in Jesus, there is no reason for you to not get baptized. We're doing baptisms 2 weeks from today. And if the good news about Jesus, if it makes sense to you, if it sounds like good news to you, if you want to be loved perfectly by a perfect God, if you want to be forgiven all your sins, if you want to have meaning and purpose in your life, to never be alone because you know God is always with you, to live with hope in this life because you know there's life after this life, this is not a decision to put off. Just like this Ethiopian guy is like, now. And so maybe you're ready to put your faith in Jesus and get baptized. Or maybe you put your faith in Jesus weeks ago, months ago, years ago, but you've just never taken that step of getting baptized. Well, 2 weeks from today could be your day. Why don't you make it your day? So if you want to do that, or even if you're just like, I got questions about that, there's a sign up on the iPads at the Velcro bar. And so you can sign up, give us your information. We'll call you or email you, whatever you give us. And if you have questions, we'll answer them. And if not, we'll just give you the details and celebrate that you decide to get baptized. If you're like, I want to talk to somebody today, I'll hang out behind the Velcro bar after the service and just come up. I'd love to talk to you and see if I can answer your questions. Man, if you do this, if you decide to put your faith in Jesus, you get a new life. And that new life comes with purpose. And so you don't ever have to question again, like, what is my life all about? Because God wants your life to be all about removing the barriers that exist between you and him and that exist between other people and him. God wants to partner with you to impact the lives of other people. And he will lead you. He will lead you if you will just listen and obey his voice to divine appointments where you can share good news about Jesus. We're going to give you some time with God right now just to talk to him about all this. And maybe, I hope that you have a decision to make. Perhaps your decision today is to embrace your purpose. To ask God, God, help me to listen to your voice and to let you, God, lead me to those divine appointments. Give me the courage and the right words when I have that opportunity. Or maybe it's to embrace Jesus, to say yes to what he did on the cross for you. One way we say yes to what he did on the cross is through communion. So every week we have bread and juice that's available, and it represents the body and blood of Jesus given on the cross for us. And if you decide to take that today, it's a way of you saying, man, my faith is in Jesus, and again, I am saying yes, and I'm saying thank you to what he did on the cross for me. And another way you can say yes to his invitation to you is to be baptized if you've never done that. And if you decide, I want to do that, during this time we're going to give you a couple minutes here, tell him. Like, the cool thing about God is he made it so easy. He said, just say yes. And so tell him, and then if you do that, tell us so we can tell you about the baptisms coming up in 2 weeks. All right, so let me pray for us, and then we'll give you time to pray, and the band's going to lead us another song or two. So let's do that. God, perhaps there is a person in this room, perhaps there are several people in this room who, like the Ethiopian eunuch, came here seeking, may have been coming for a while seeking, and you know, kind of like that eunuch said, how can I understand this if someone doesn't explain it to me? Maybe today it makes sense. It's like, oh, so Jesus died, and in God's love, he allows that to take my sins away so that I can have a relationship with God, and someday I can go to heaven forever. Like, okay, I get it. And God, all we need to do is say yes. Say yes and put our faith in Jesus. And God, we've been seeing these last couple weeks when someone believes in the Bible, the next step, they always immediately get baptized. And so we could celebrate that yes in baptism here 2 weeks from today. God, if there are people in this room who need to say yes right now and sign up to get baptized, I pray you'd have them do that. Or say yes. God, for the rest of us, man, what an amazing thing that we can live meaningful, purpose-filled lives because you want to partner with us to impact the lives of other people. And maybe that's a little bit intimidating, but the thing we know is that we don't do it alone. You go with us. Thank you for that, God. And we thank you for Jesus and that he makes all this possible. And I pray in his name, amen.